Welcome to the Casual Fridays REI podcast, where you'll learn about the wildly profitable niche of land investing. Active land investors Adam Southey and Justin Sliva are here to share their experiences with you so that you can learn how to build massive cash flow and huge profits from this highly lucrative niche. So without further ado, here are your hosts, Adam Southey and Justin Sliva.
Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm Adam Southey, here with my co-host, Justin Sliva, and this is the Casual Fridays REI podcast. Today, we're going to talk about not letting one deal cost you multiple deals. Before we do that, though, let's talk about Plum Investment Group. Do you have a property that you need funding for? Plum Investment Group is your solution. Plum helps land investors grow their business by funding your raw land purchase. This is truly an awesome deal, guys, and just to be clear, this isn't a loan. Plum will actually partner with you by putting up the money for your project. So do yourself a favor, go check them out. It's www.pluminvestmentgroup.com.
Happy Friday.
Hey.
We kind of alluded to this a little bit on the last show, and I started getting into a tangent, and I saw your director eyes cut to me, and we're like, let's get back to the topic, Justin.
Well, that was Wednesday. That was so long ago, I barely remember it. But, but yeah, we had a topic, and yeah, 6 minutes into it, we're still talking about.
Yeah, the seven-figure subdivide that, you know, we're chasing it, and you know, in this business, anybody that's sent out multiple mailers knows that property comes back sometimes and you just get a plethora of deals back. Like you're just sitting on stuff and you're just like, holy mackerel. Like, what do you do? How do you sort them? And, you know, do you work off emotion? Do you work off pride? Do you work off trying to capture that badge of honor or that feather in your cap or whatever you want to call it?
And
I
don't feel any of those.
You don't. So like for me, it's always about the next level, right? It's mm-hmm. like, how far can I push this thing? Because since I went on my own, you know, almost 3 years ago, every day I've had to feel like I've had to expand the business in some way, had to grow it. And I think there's going to be a lot of people that relate to this that are new and you're like, how do I scale fast? How do I do this? How do I do that? And that next logical step for me was subdividing, right? Mm-hmm. So I said, you know, I said earlier this year, I was going to do a subdivide this year. We had it on a show. I told you, you knew that was my goal. Mm-hmm. So I threw a mailer out in the state of Nevada and mailed 400 acres and above to non-corporate owned properties. And I got like five back and they didn't have solid access, you know, just to try to negotiate a little bit. Last 2 weeks ago, I get signed purchase and sales agreements back on two sections for an amazing price mm-hmm. and like cheaper than we would even know what to do with. Like mm-hmm. you're just going, holy mackerel. Mm-hmm. And then I'd already okayed a partnership on a Virginia subdivide. It's 220 acres. We're going to cut it down. Mm-hmm. So we got that one. It's got a purchase sales agreement on. It's under contract. It's in escrow. And then we had this Jack County property that we kind of talked about last show a little bit, which was 848 acres. Plan was to split it down. There was some negotiating that we were going to do because one of the owners kind of wanted to keep some property, had some minerals, some prices, and that one was a seven-figure deal, and that was the feather. That's like the next level. Subdivide, seven-figure deal. Man, what, you know, that's where my head's been at this last week and a half, 2 weeks, mm-hmm. and it's drained me, man.
I can tell. I've been able to tell.
My energy level's down because I'm felt like we were negotiating against it. And so the partner I have on the seven-figure deal, I've mentioned him several times. He's the guy that doesn't have the buy-sell website. He doesn't have a Facebook. You wouldn't even know he's a land investor. That he was one of my first consultant clients to actually show how to do the land investing niche because he was a house buyer of mine. He's like, you're doing what with land? And so he went from house buyer, flipper, he still does that, to land investor. And they really related to land because him and his family grew up in a rural town, you know, hunted, fished, and his brother ran big hunting exotic ranches and sold all his ranches. And so they do oil and gas too. So it was a natural fit for them. But so we were in there negotiating and I tell him, hey, this is the top number we need to be at. He really likes the deal too. And they're kind of emotional on it because it's a good hunting property. They're wanting to keep some of the land for themselves. So they're going to pre-buy it at a negotiated rate. And you know, we come in with a strong offer because it was, we knew the property had some numbers to it. So let's call it 20. We knew they had a contract before that fell through at $2,100 an acre, but there was a broker attached to both sides. So you take those commissions out and it's just us dealing directly with them. Just put it about two. So we come in at $1,900 an acre. Mm-hmm. I tell him top end, we can go as two. Well, they come back at they were asking like say $2,300 or $2,400 bucks an acre. They come back at $2,250 and didn't want to talk to minerals. They weren't going to give us the. Didn't want to keep the land that we wanted to give them. So I said, no, let's not chase this. Mm-hmm. And because that for me could have killed three other subdivides that were out there mm-hmm. by putting all that cash into that deal.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it's still a good deal though? Because for you, it didn't work because you have all these other great subdivides going on. Mm-hmm. But raising your offer to 200, raising it 200 per acre, still when you sell it $3,500 an acre.
Yeah, it would have raised $250 bucks an acre. But that $250 bucks an acre times 848 acres. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're adding close to what, $200,000-$300,000?
True, when you look at it that way. But then there's still how much equity, right?
There is some, but that's the risk in all this. So do you take a deal that you know you're only going to make 30% or 40% on if everything hits right, mm-hmm. or a deal that you know at wholesale you're going to double your money?
No, I agree with you. I definitely do.
And it's just those that working those numbers and looking at it. Like I had to get over the fact of, hey, what's my pride telling me? I'm bragging about this. I'm going to get this seven-figure deal. I'm probably going to buy a mule. I'm going to go drive around on my land, take my kids out there. They're going to see this ranch that we're going to subdivide, probably take them hunting on it, to, hey, let's sit back and think about what we're doing from a pure business number standpoint.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, two things there. It was kind of cool that when you talk about a mule, right? Every land broker we met that day had a mule.
Yeah.
I saw people driving all around town with just mules
attached to the trucks.
Yeah, that was the thing out there. That was crazy. But it, which also makes you think, how does a new land broker get started out there? Do you borrow
common thread
a mule?
Between the multiple brokers that we saw was daddy owned a business.
Well, that is true too.
And I don't want to say that as a bad thing, but both the gentlemen that we worked with, super knowledgeable guys, super good at the craft, but father owned the business prior to them.
Well, that does help. That does help. Yeah. Not to put anything past them, but
I assume the mule was probably daddy's.
Well, I'm not going there, but anyway, I just thought that was cool. I mean, I've never been to look at big, you know, $1 million ranches like that, and they came to impress. I just wish, you know, maybe they had an air conditioner or something.
It's yeah, that's what that guy said. He goes, you know, I've looked at getting the AC and heated one. It's just too expensive.
Yeah.
So you're right. There was a cool novelty for it, and that's where that emotion comes mm-hmm. in. You know, we've often talked about, hey, you don't have to go look at your land, but when you do, you become a little more invested in it. Like if you look at it before you've actually purchased it, now you're kind of like, oh, I've got to have this because it's cool.
There is a sense of like I'm the developer of that property, because everyone we talked to that day knew of that property. You were going to make a name for yourself if you bought it.
Yeah.
And that's where that pride comes in, and that's where you start thinking, well, you know, maybe I should come up to their asking price.
Yeah, and I want to, but at the same time, it's a hard sell for me just because I know the return I'm going to get elsewhere. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, so many deals that I, you know, Plum, a lot of times I just go through a deal. If it doesn't make sense money-wise, I'm like, hey, man, there's profit there. It's just not enough for both of us. Mm-hmm. Like I had one come in this week. It was in Missouri. I think it was like $210,000. They had already had a broker out on it. He'd already started showing people, and he says it sells fast at $300,000. Well, it's $90,000, but you're going to end up paying him, you know, $15,000 in broker fees. So you're less than that. So you're going to make $70,000 off this deal. You don't know how long it's going to take, though. But what else could I do to make $70,000 with less risk? And that's the question I often ask myself. But this one was hard because we went out on it. Mm-hmm. We rode in a mule. The guy was like, oh, man, this is going to sell great for what you're wanting to do. They were on board. They knew exactly what was going to happen because they're in the business. They know that market.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I try and run my business purely on the numbers thing, yep. right? And maybe that's great that we don't go look at them for that fact because, you know, like we were just talking about with that one, what can I do to make $70,000 where I don't have to put up, yes, 100 or whatever yep. it was, right? You can easily go flip
yeah.
seven properties that you paid 10 for or something
oh, yeah.
like that, you know?
All day.
That buy for 10, sell for 30 happens a whole lot quicker because yep. more people got 30,000. You know, when you get into that $300,000, your buyer pool is obviously much smaller.
Yep.
Right? So I try and make all of those aspects purely data-based.
Yeah.
I mean,
no, you're exactly right. And that's where that conflict and for me is like, what's that next level up? Is it me trying to do this to stunt for the show? Is it me doing this because it's the right business move? Is it me doing it because my pride tells me, hey, you need your first seven-figure deal under your belt? Because Because we've done a couple $500,000 deals. I have not done a seven figure. I've done multiple six figures. Have not done a seven figure. And I'm torn between that. Is that like what I need to do? Is it not what I need to do or what?
Yeah, I don't know. I think I said it on the show. I don't remember how far ago, a week or two back. But like if you want to make more money, just do more deals that you know how to do. You don't have to go do the bigger ones, right? You know, if you want to make $500,000, just go double down on your business.
I know you say that. And I agree with you, like I really do, but I feel like there's the next step in land investing for me is learning that subdivide concept, and to me that's like I talked to this billionaire. He was my old boss. He owned a railroad, and the generation before us that had these big ranches don't want them anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, we had the great subdivide of the 1950s, 60s, and 70s, where all the Western land was subdivided down, and then it became the Great American Land Hustle, and a lot of big corporations got into it, got into some trouble for some, you know, some practices that weren't of advertising and stuff. I don't want to get into that, but just think if the beginning of the year you bought a ranch, you chopped it up a little bit, and then you sold it, and that's your year, and that's all you had to do.
If that's the end goal, then great, work towards it, but if the end goal is just to continue growing, then why go do it? Like, because you can continue growing, flipping, buying for 10, selling for 30.
You can. This thought process for me is like, how do you create inventory with less work for cheaper? Like, how do you bring your cost basis down? So, for instance.
Oh, your cost basis. You mean your cost basis goes down when you buy $1 million ranch? That's a whole lot cheaper.
So I have a deal in in one of the desert states where I'm getting 700 acres at like $60 an acre. Mm-hmm. So if you took that and you split that 70 acres down and you split it all into 40s or their 70s, you're just doing a parcel split. You got access because it's got roads throughout it. And you wholesaled it to land investors only at $100 to $120 an acre. You gave them pictures, you gave them drone video, everything. You forced your appreciation there.
Mm-hmm. And I understand that because that's the same land type that we've been buying for several years.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, so that's where growing the business, like you say, you know, do what you normally do, but just do it. Well, how if the cheapest I can go out and buy a 40 for is $100 an acre without going through like tax auctions and doing other things like that. But if I can find it to where I can buy 10 of those 40 at $60 an acre, and then I can pass the savings on to my friends and in the land investing community that wanted it at $100 to $120 an acre, they're not having to mail for it. They're not having to go get pictures for it. They just turnkey. They can pick up three or four of them. Now they've got some inventory to put out for terms deals.
Mm-hmm. I get it. You just need to ask yourself if that's the end goal.
Yeah. Sometimes the end goal is not the end goal, though. For me, it's knowledge. It's knowing.
There's got to be a end goal to strive for.
I disagree. And I'm going to disagree with you on it because I feel that sometimes for educational purposes, we need to do stuff just to learn it.
Maybe you. I don't feel that need.
I've known you for 20 years, Adam. I can start and get out a checklist and start naming stuff that you did that was not the end goal but has led you to here.
Yeah, and now that I've gotten into this niche, I'm laser focused. I mean,
okay. And in this niche, I want to understand all parts of it.
Well, what's wrong with just knowing every detail about your specific want?
I don't know, man. I feel like I know those details. I'm trying to grow the knowledge. I want my next book on subdividing to come out.
We better race our buddy Trevor. I keep hearing him talking about it.
He keeps talking about my book because I said something to him?
Well, I've heard him talk about wanting to do something on subdivide.
His family subdivides. They're like multi-generational subdividing people.
Who better to write a book?
Trevor, let's co-write it together, buddy.
Yeah, well, our platform.
Yeah, a little bit of his knowledge. Little bit of the new knowledge.
All right, you got anything else to say about it?
No, I think it's important that, you know, as you see us come through this stuff, and it's kind of an experience for us because it's a learning process that we're still growing too. We stay active in the land investing niche. We continue to, you know, Adam says, hey, I stay laser focused on my type deals, but he moves market to market. I stick with what I do on my land business, but then I try to add in extra stuff so we can go from the range of spending $50 on a tax property or, you know, if we get up to that seven figure ranch and how do we subdivide it and everything in between to where we can continue to grow ourselves, but grow with our listeners have the ability to grow as well.
Mm-hmm. I think we kind of got away from the point. We started talking about goals, but like the whole idea is don't go letting that one deal that might be the pride deal, like prevent you from going doing these other deals that make more sense.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. And that one, it literally weighed on me. Like it was like, I feel better now that we're kind of know where it's at. But I still got to work through the rest of the deals with us.
Okay, well, then that is going to be it for today. It's Friday, so get prepared. Get out there and make some stuff happen this weekend. And while you're doing that, go to Facebook, go to Instagram, give us a like, give us a follow. Then go to iTunes, go to Stitcher, go to wherever else you're listening to us. Like, review, subscribe to the show. We love you. Have a great weekend. See you Monday.
Have a safe weekend.